Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, before we talk to Cliff Schechter, here's Stephanie Miller with a word about Omaha Steaks.
Well, make home your favorite new restaurant this winter with Omaha Steaks delivered straight to your door. Have you ever wondered what makes Omaha Steaks so good? It's the aging process. Omaha Steaks aged at least 21 days. That's where the magic happens. Try these mouthwatering steaks in the Butcher's Best Sellers package. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter that promo code VOICES into the search bar to save over 50% and secure exclusive pricing. Included in the Butcher's Best Sellers package are 4 iconic fork tender butcher's cut filet mignons, 4 ultra juicy burgers, 4 savory pork sops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and so much more. In addition to getting more than 50% off, you also get 4 more chicken breasts, 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, type VOICES in the search bar, order the Butcher's Best Sellers package today, save over 50%, plus get 4 chicken breast, 4 burgers from the company that's been bringing people together for over 100 years, omahasteaks.com. Type VOICES in that search bar at omahasteaks.com.
Thank you, Stephanie, and now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, February 10, 2021, and this is the interview edition of the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. My guest today is a returning regular on the show. The great Cliff Schechter is here from the Daily Beast and the Unprecedented Podcast on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com and patreon.com/unprecedentedpod. Today, we're going to recap the impeachment trial of Donald Trump so far, as well as Republican cowardice and how Fox News primetime hosts have managed to get away with helping to incite the insurrection, and a whole lot more. Meanwhile, if you like what you hear today, don't forget to subscribe to our bonus content at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. It's literally the best way to support this podcast. Okay, let's talk with the mighty Cliff Schechter. Yeah, see, we're talking via telephone because apparently you couldn't turn off your cat filter on Zoom, so we had to...
Exactly. I was trying to decide if I was going to go as a cat or Bruce Castor.
They're basically the same thing. It's like the same level of legal representation, aren't they? Oh, man. You know, I think it was Bruce Castor yesterday who said Trump's trial belongs in criminal court, not Congress. He said, you go and arrest him. Well, yeah, come to think of it, why the hell is Trump still at large? That's a great question. Thank you, Bruce Castor.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I want him to do all the lawyering for all the Republicans, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
Impressive specimen. I mean, look, you know, it's not shocking. They're down to, like, you can't even really say the D list, right? I mean, they're kind of like the W list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who the hell wants to lawyer for them? You know you're not getting paid at the end.
Yeah, right.
You're going to make a fool of yourself, and Trump's going to hate you no matter what you do anyhow.
And I have this theory, Cliff, that most of what was said yesterday was dictated to those lawyers by Donald Trump himself. Either he dictated it to them, or he wrote it down on Post-it notes with a Sharpie and then gave it to them, or had them mailed over. Maybe faxed. I would say faxed, because he knows the mail doesn't work, because he sabotaged the mail. So
That's correct. And he thinks the fax is sort of the most updated technology.
That's right. Well, I mean, in all seriousness, I really believe that Trump had something to do with the awful legal representation, the arguments that they were making, Bruce Castor and the other guy. Was it David Schoen? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
The guy that I can make, I'm still going to make the Jewish jokes about because I'm Jewish and I can get away with it. So I'm sorry. Everybody who's crying and saying he can't do it, if he wants to pull his head back like a Pez dispenser, I'm going to make that joke. And it's like that episode of Seinfeld, I get to do it, right? Remember the one with Bryan Cranston where he's a dentist and he converts to Judaism
Yes.
just so he can say all the jokes?
For the jokes.
Well, I may not be a practicing Jew, but I'm still technically a Jew. So I get to make that joke, ha-ha.
Were you aware when you were watching what he was doing, or did you have to be informed of the why he was touching his head every time he took a sip of water?
I had to be informed. I have no idea. I mean, again, I grew up in like an uber secular, you know, kind of family where we didn't celebrate anything for the most part. So,
yeah.
So for me, I had no, I mean, not that I didn't have friends who were more religious and I've been to ceremonies and things, but that I'd never seen before anywhere.
It happened right as I was wrapping up my show yesterday. So I only was hearing about it secondhand on Twitter. I was like, well, very clearly this guy's got some form of OCD. Like every time he has to take a sip of water, he touches his head to prevent something bad from happening
right.
to him.
There starts being this theme too. I mean, you have to understand why people would react to that because, I mean, this will sound like a joke, but not even joking. Like what is it, the Republicans, they have all these strange habits with water.
Yeah.
You know, like Donald Trump needs two hands to lift a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Can't drink it normally.
That's right.
Marco Rubio chugs it like he's in a desert, you know, whenever he's giving a speech.
That's
I mean,
right.
We've seen enough Republican weirdness around water that this just seemed to be the newest version. It's like the new product of the year, you know?
That's right. In fact, I observed for many years during the Trump administration that Trump himself had trouble even talking about water. Remember, he was, you know, every time there was a hurricane, he would call it a water dump. And then
the toilet stuff.
Yeah, the toilet stuff. Like, he can't figure out how the hell you can get away with flushing just once, that now, because of the water pressure issues, you have to flush a bunch of times. I don't know anyone who has to flush a bunch of times or has to wash their dishes numerous times in order for them to come clean. That was just a thing he decided to talk about. Because, again, like you said, I think they have issues talking about water. And, he, you know, like with Puerto Rico, after that hurricane with Puerto Rico, it's impossible to get any sort of aid to Puerto Rico. You know why? Because it's surrounded by water, big water. Oh my God. It was just like one water thing after another. So strange.
What is it? Like, I mean, I don't, you know, they're like the aliens from the movie Signs. They can't go anywhere near the water, man.
That's right. Maybe you're on to something. Holy shit. You got to get in touch with M. Night and ask him, is there any correlation between the aliens from Signs and modern Republicans?
Right. Well, and if you think about it, Mel Gibson was in that movie, and he's basically a Nazi. So I think we've got a working theory here.
But I noticed
hey,
this.
Can I ask you something while
sure.
we're on
yeah.
entertainment? I don't want to take over your show, but I've got to ask this because I know you're a huge fan of a lot of the same sci-fi, you know, the Star Wars, the Star Trek, the stuff that I am,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just learned online that Gina Carano is an awful person. I had no idea. Did you know this?
I knew that she had a rather interesting Twitter feed that I haven't looked at it because I try not to cross the streams between my favorite shows and politics. But I couldn't help but to notice today when she was making remarks about Jews, apparently, which, Jesus Christ, you want to get kicked off of the most popular TV show in the world right now? Yeah, start tweeting about Jews and Nazis, but not favorable to Jews. I mean, it's madness.
Right, I'm just disappointed. I mean, look, I'm not the kind, I see a big difference between news and politics and then the entertainment world in that, like, I don't buy into the whole, you know, cancel culture, blah, blah, blah. But like when it comes to people who are in the business of representing us in Congress, in the business of, you know, informing us in the news, yeah, I do think, call it what you want to call it, cancel culture or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think we have to have serious standards when it comes to people lying or saying racist things, you know, you're pushing conspiracies. I don't, entertainment, I'm not like that. Like, I'm not calling for her to be fired. I'm not the type of person that does that. I'm not, I mean, folks can do that if they want. That's not me. I'm just more surprised and disappointed. You know, like, this is a show I really enjoyed, and I've tried to avoid that stuff too, but it came into my Twitter feed today. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
We're comparing new Jews running away from, she basically had something in there about Jews' neighbors were the ones who beat them up.
Yeah, including children, you know, she said.
Then
yeah.
The Nazis did. And somehow that had to do with people being mean to her because she has right-wing views, which, I didn't even know she had until that.
Yeah.
And then I was dumb enough to, like, click a little further, and I start seeing some of the vote conspiracy stuff from her, and I'm like, oh, come on, please don't.
I know. It's really upsetting.
I like Deadpool, too, man.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. Well, especially on a day, too, when Pedro Pascal defends his trans sister in a
right.
very noble and supportive way. And at the same time, you get Gina Carano apparently retweeting someone else talking about how, well, Nazis didn't beat up the Jews. As you were saying, Nazis didn't beat up the Jews. It was actually other Jews beating up the Jews, including child Jews. You know, this is like, God damn it.
Right.
And she's liked tweets. For example, there's one that she liked that said, America does not have a systemic racism problem. America has a violent leftist extremism problem. And Gina Carano yep. liked that tweet, which is, yeah, I mean, I guess some people have rules where likes don't necessarily connote endorsement, but it does. It. I don't think she has that right. disclaimer in her profile. So, by the way, those of you who don't know, Gina Carano is yeah. a co-star on The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, and now there's a hashtag going around saying fire Gina Carano for some of her Twitter opinions.
And the truth of the matter is she's probably screwed now, you know, whether yeah. I'm not defending her. What she's doing is horrible, but they were thinking of creating a spinoff for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in addition to that, they were, you know, she was a big part of that show, I would say,
oh, yeah.
a decent part of that show. And she'd already done these things, and then she apologized for them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know any of this, to be honest with you. So that's a classic example. Here I am, a big fan of the show. I knew none of this.
Yeah.
I learned about everything today because she then goes after apologizing to Disney executives and all that, decides to go and do this again today. My guess is now they're going to can her because they're going to have no choice because a lot of people are going to call for it. And, you know, I guess she's too dumb not to, she brought it on herself. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Well, the show.
I didn't mean to get off on that whole thing. I just didn't know if you knew or not. I was interested to know if you did.
Well, so. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm never afraid to talk about Star Wars and The Mandalorian. I mean, I think it's one of the greatest shows ever made. I mean, it's now in the pantheon of like my top five favorite TV series of all time. It is so great, even in spite yep. of Gina Carano, which again, I try to separate these things. I really, really do. But in this case, I can't. And I think they're early enough in the run of the show that they could either write her out of the show or replace her with someone who's a little less controversial. But it's a shame that such a quality Star Wars show would be, you know, would have to be dragged down by this nonsense. Clearly very,
right.
very unpopular.
I agree 100% with that.
Yeah.
I try to separate it all out too. There was one of the, you know, I watched The Flash with my kids
mm-hmm.
and one of the guys, you know, who now will not be on in the new season, who played the stretchy guy, whose name I can't think of, you know, because he made some bad jokes 8 or 10 years ago on Twitter. He's a comedian and he was pushing the envelope. And,
yeah.
You know, I would be of the mind that he should apologize and, you know, give him another chance. Like, I'm really not the type of person who when it comes to entertainment, which I see is different,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I would be like, oh, my God, they should be fired. But like, and with her, she seems to want to be fired
yeah.
because she already went through all of this and apologized for it all, you know, to the Disney execs. And, you know, a month or two later, she's now back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a shame because I try to separate just like you do. But I think that there's just no way she's going to be able to stay on now.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, not only from an opinion point of view. Obviously, she's wrong, but it also doesn't make any sense from a, you know, a career longevity point of view. I mean, does she really want to be blacklisted off of the most popular streaming television show in the world right now? Seems so ridiculous in terms of bad judgment. I don't understand that kind of behavior. It just doesn't make any sense. But I mean, looping that back into politics, I love this nonsense, by the way, from Trump's lawyers, obviously yesterday, not to mention John Kennedy during hearings for New York Tandon yesterday, that because lower level Democrats have been mean to Republicans on Twitter, it's okay for the president to incite an insurrection. I don't know where they come up with this ridiculous logic, Cliff, but that makes no goddamn sense. There is a huge difference between what Neera Tanden said on Twitter 10 years ago or 5 years ago versus what Donald Trump said in January to incite the first invasion of the U.S. Capitol since the War of 1812.
Right. You know, and I'll admit, for full disclosure, I mean, Neera is a friend and she's been on our podcast a few times.
Yeah.
And, you know, what? So I'll throw that out there and, and, you know, put that in the mix if you're judging what I'm saying. But still, at the same time, she said she never said anything violent. Never threatened violence. I mean, she was harshly critical of people, which I am and you are and other people are, who engage in Twitter, you know, who are on there, but who don't take it to the point of encouraging people to do violent things. And it's hilarious. I mean, it would be hilarious. It's so pathetic. I mean, you know, one of the leading people, our literal pile of jello Senator Rob Portman from the state, who honestly, I think is a pile of jello. And that they can sit there. I mean, these guys, that they can literally sit there. They lack shame in such a way that they lack. They're such. I don't remember if I can curse on your show or not. So
Yes, you can. But curse away. Yeah, let the obscenities fly.
Such fucking hypocrites.
There you go.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know that they can sit there. That Rob Portman, who sat there and, you know, for 4 years, said all the time when he was asked, "Oh well, I don't really follow Twitter. I didn't really see what he said. You know, I'm sure he didn't mean it," or, you know, I mean, this kind of garbage from this guy who, you know, they did this about baseless conspiracy theories he shared, about vicious personal attacks against people while he was president, which, by the way, is very different than being head of Center for American Progress. He did it while he was president and had a huge platform. And then he goes and he encourages this. So basically the same day, you know, that we've got in the morning, they're like, "Oh my God, you know, Neera Tanden said mean things, and that had such negative effects." And then that's what we're talking about in the morning. And in the afternoon, Donald Trump may have incited a riot, but I mean, you know, he said some things, but that couldn't have convinced anybody, even though all the people in the crowd are saying, "Well, you know, Donald Trump said we should do it, so let's go do it." I mean, like that they could try to follow that logic. You only can be a Republican in this Congress and try and do that, and try and make it that what Neera said somehow hurt people and destroyed the world, but somehow what Donald Trump said had no influence, and he should definitely be okay.
Yeah. Why are people so fragile these days, Cliff, when it comes to online shit or even offline shit? For example, this is kind of off the beaten path in terms of politics, but this is regarding what happened on SNL Saturday night.
Culturally important, and it affects politics.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, well, there was a thing on SNL where Phoebe Bridgers finished performing I think it was her second song on SNL Saturday night, and she smashed her guitar. And everyone was like, "Oh my God, what is she doing?" And I said, "Well, wait a minute. That's the most rock and roller thing I've seen on Saturday Night Live." I don't understand why people have suddenly become so fragile that we got to make an issue out of a rock star smashing her guitar. I mean, that's as rock and roll as apple pie is American. I mean, it just seems ludicrous that this is the kind of thing that we're getting bent out of shape about on Twitter. I guess now we're in an era where everything is fair game, right?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, and this is, you know, on the right and the left. This isn't just, as you said, it's not just about politics. It's people that just get offended by everything. I mean, I don't understand it. It's not who I am. So it's very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I think I tend to believe in joking about almost everything. I think that's kind of how we find our common humanity.
That's right.
Is that, you know, but we've drawn these lines in the sand of where what you can't say, what you can say. And then it seems to expand even further. As you said, I don't really think that there's any group I can think of specifically offended by guitar breaking. maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But and yet you're right. Like that becomes this big, I don't know. I kind of feel like it's just another effect of social media, which I used to be, see in a much more positive light, and I see in a mostly a negative light. I mean, I'm on there and I participate, but I just don't see the same way I used to. I feel like the people, when they sit in front of a computer or a phone or whatever it is they're tweeting or they're going on Facebook, it's almost like they feel like they're almost anonymous. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they're, even when their name and picture attached to them, things they would never say to somebody in person.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of feel empowered to say and do. Mm. And it creates this sort of groupthink, this mob mentality of, like, yeah, we got nothing better to do. Let's go after somebody for breaking their guitar.
That's right. That's right.
You know, maybe the fragility was always there, but when people didn't know that 50 other people or 5,000 other people or 50,000 other people felt the way they did, they just kind of kept their mouths shut about it.
Yeah.
And now you see a few people speak up about it, and it's sort of licensed for everybody to complain about everything.
Right, right. Well, here's
my theory.
Yeah, well, here's another example of the modern fragility. Abby Phillips of CNN reports that some GOP senators are melodramatically, quote unquote, not listening to the House manager's case inside the Senate chamber. It appears that this camp largely includes Trump's nominal co-conspirators, Graham, Cruz, and Paul. Apparently, Josh Hawley is up in the gallery in the Senate chambers, I believe.
Right, feet up on the desk kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just not paying attention. It's like they're literally going, nah, 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 not listening with their ears plugged. They're just whiny diaper babies, every single one of them. My God.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, the entire Republican position, I believe, especially on this impeachment trial, is informed by cowardice. I think these guys are, and you know what? I'll say right away that I think Mary Trump disagrees with me. I think Mary Trump is suggesting that they're not afraid of Trump and Trump's followers. They're using him is her opinion, but it seems like it's born out of fear, like this inability to acknowledge the reality of the crime, even though they themselves could have been victims of it. I don't understand this attitude that says, well, you know, because we're all Republicans, it doesn't, you know, the fact that we were invaded by an angry mob of insurrectionists doesn't really matter. And we got to defend Donald Trump no matter what, but it's really about those supporters again targeting them, like they're concerned. I get the sense that they're worried that those insurrectionists are going to come after them the next time this happens. And I don't know, do you feel right. The same way? Do you think that's the level of cowardice?
Yeah,
or do you think it's something else?
Well, I mean, I think it's you know, none of it's mutually exclusive, because they sort of embody like the seven sins and all the worst traits of humanity are now kind of glommed together in what's known as the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, are they cowards because they're scared of Trump and they're also scared of the monster they created that went and invaded the Capitol? Absolutely. Are they careerist, pathetic hacks like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz who would trade democracy for power? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they shameless con men who have gotten to the position they've gotten to, you know, by lying and obfuscating and, you know, demagoguing and, you know, and getting, you know, hurting other people? Absolutely. So I think, you know, it's sort of hard, I feel like, to pick out one or the other. I think you and Mary Trump could both be right on this.
Yeah.
I think there's various aspects of, you know, with some it's more fear, with some it's more their careerism. I mean, you know, whenever you look at sort of studies in authoritarian countries, which is what the Republican Party is, an authoritarian country of its own, you see that, you know, some people bow to dear leader because they want to move one rung up the ladder. You know, some do it because they think that the corruption is good. They'll be able to get rich easy. Some do it because they're scared, because they're cowards. And, you know, there's some combo of all of that, I think.
To me, it's the intimidation from the perspective of violence, and then it's also intimidation from the perspective of mere votes, knowing that, you know, I guess they acknowledge and recognize that Donald Trump got 74 million votes, much to our chagrin, and they want to continue to ride that gravy train. It just seems like that's the line of thinking right now. That's the strategy in terms of why they just continue to backstop this guy and genuflect before him. It's just absolute madness. But, you know, I'm still shaken from watching that video timeline that Jamie Raskin presented yesterday. Was that the darkest day, Cliff, in American history since the Civil War? I mean, other than perhaps like Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Sandy Hook, I'd rank it among the darkest, certainly in that pantheon of terrible, terrible events. What do you think? Where would you peg this insurrection in American history?
I mean, certainly it has to absolutely be up there, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say what happened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, you know, with marchers beaten during the civil rights period is certainly up there. What happened, you know, with some of the suffragettes who were starving and beaten in prison. I mean, you know, it's sort of like certainly if you're saying as a public, a combination of pure evil and also a public spectacle, it's certainly up there with any of the others you mentioned, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, those kinds of things. Some of the other horrible days happened more, you know, in private, in places where we didn't have cameras. But it's hard to say anything more evil has ever happened in this country. I don't think so. I mean, people were there. A lot of people, you know, folks who were there were out for blood.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I mean, you know, the imagery of all of it. I mean, beating somebody with an American flag.
Yeah.
I mean, if ever you wanted like a metaphor, right, for not understanding what it is you're holding your hands when you're, you know, I mean, guys losing fingers and eyes and, you know, all the ways they were attacking all of these police when these are the people been screaming Blue Lives Matter forever. I mean, they like to judge who out there is civilized, and often they do it by race. And they were an untethered mob. They were a group of animals is mm-hmm. what they were.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they were the most base animals that, you know, you'd have to go back thousands of years in evolution to get to like the state of mind they were in during that period of time. Almost like the ecstasy. They're all excited.
Yeah.
You know, if you see those videos, they're excited. They're happy. They can't wait to hang somebody,
right,
to shoot somebody, to beat somebody to death. Like that's, I don't, I mean, again, like, you know, maybe I'm happy to be corrected. I don't think much more evil than that exists in human nature. There's fighting over resources when you need food to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's that kind of stuff. This wasn't that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is like cult-like ecstasy, you know, at harming or, you know, murdering people.
Right. And, you know, I got the impression once again that it's like military cosplay. Like they were having fun doing the dress them up and shouting the orders like they see in Call of Duty and whatever. They yep. love the role playing aspect of it. And I think that was certainly on display in the video. The other thing that struck me is just the overall lack of understanding in terms of how you create change in a democratic republic. How do you enact things that you want to change in this country or in any democracy? And it's not at the point right. of a gun. It's not by beating up Capitol Police and you know, seizing the head of government and so on. This is not, I guess this has been a slow building process over the years, Cliff, where they've just been slowly indoctrinated into the concept that enacting change at the point of a gun, enacting change through violence, through political violence, is the way we do things here. But I mean, where are they getting that?
Right.
When was the last time that actually happened? I mean, other than in the revolution.
Well, you brought up a few important points there, and hopefully I'll address them all and I won't forget. But the cosplay aspect of it, sorry for being so smart. You know? You just got so much stuff. But you, as I know, because I know Bob, folks, you are a Civil War buff, and I know it.
Yeah.
So let me bring up the fact that, like, you know, a lot of these guys have been dressing up in their little Confederate outfits, reenacting battles where they got the shit kicked out of them for years, and feeling like that somehow made them feel, you know. And then there's the militia culture that exists, you know, that to me, a lot of that is based on the powerlessness, the sort of internal weakness of a lot of these. And they're not always white men in different cultures that where the other groups are dominant. They're others. They're largely men, and we have to admit that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they love that whole thing because they're never going to be a hero like that. And it clearly they don't have what makes them get up in the morning and want to live life and feel fulfilled, whether it be family, whether it be their work or hobbies or whatever it might be. And they feel, you know, so because maybe jobs have left and they feel disempowered. But to me, a lot of it comes from that because, look, I'm going to guess that you're like me, and you could be like, if you're not, Bob, just say, I'm like that fucking weirdo Cliff, and you wouldn't be the first one to say that. Trust me. But, you know, I go into an Avengers movie or like, you know, I was watching like Cobra Kai with my kid. And after that, I want to karate chop the shit out of stuff for a couple minutes. Right. I'm like,
yeah.
I want to be fucking Ralph Macchio. I want Johnny Lawrence to come at me, you know, but that's like a 5 or 10 minute feeling, you know. Rocky knocks out like the fucking Russian, and you're like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You feel like getting up, or you're James Bond, right? Mm-hmm. Like you see a movie like that, like I'm going to be James Bond for a minute when he like jumps off the side of a cliff and, you know, goes down like in GoldenEye and somehow gets himself inside the plane. Okay, that's great. But then like 20 minutes later, you and I go back to our normal lives and realize we're not Thor wielding a hammer. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we're not Jason Bourne. Mm. Like, those are entertainment. We enjoy those. I think you do a lot of those. I do.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, like, their emptiness seems to motivate them to make that their whole life.
Yeah. It's funny.
It desperately.
Cliff, one of the first conversations I had with my girlfriend, Kimberly, when we first met was we were talking about when we were kids. And I brought up the fact that I used to, when I was 6 years old or whatever, I used to pretend I was Spider-Man. And I would, you know, I would think, oh, my God, I can actually crawl up walls. And of course, it was all make-believe and so on. And I can shoot webs. And this
you
is amazing.
Really crawl up walls?
I really honestly believed in my 6 year old mind that if I tried hard enough, I could actually do it. And then Kimberly responds saying, oh, yes, when I was I used to watch The Bionic Woman. And then I used to run down the street in slow motion, like the slow motion running of Jamie Summers in The Bionic Woman. And this is one of the things that we connected
right.
about how impressionable we were when we were 6 years old. But now we're talking about, and this goes to what you were just saying about the insurrectionists and some of these more radical extremist Republicans. They are so immensely impressionable, and yet they're grown-ups. They are chronological adults. They are in their 50s and 60s in many cases. They have grandchildren and homes, and yet they are impressionable like children.
They never got through puberty.
That's
the
right.
problem.
Yeah.
Like they're still scared of puberty. You know? I mean, you see it like, I've got kids, and my kids, I would never say this in a negative way. My kids are 14 and 11, and mm-hmm. they're smart, and they're funny, and you know, and I think they're great kids, and whatever. They're still kids, and they have moments where they get scared of things or that they shouldn't, or, you know, there are things that they're quick to anger at certain mm-hmm. things, and you're like, my God, that's the way all of these adults are all the time, and they're fucking adults.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the other part of your question, what you said before, was about democracy. And quite clearly, of course, they have a lack of understanding what democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of democracy is ballots, not bullets.
Exactly.
The whole point of all of it is we would rather come together in a public square and say, you're, you know, anywhere from within the mainstream, from like socialist left to liberal left to moderate to center right to conservative right, and say, we're going to form coalitions, we're going to agree some of the time, the people that win power get to do most of it, but through compromise, we'll move forward. And if you're the ones in power, you probably get 70 or 80% of what you want. I mean, maybe if you have a coalition big enough, you get more. If you have a coalition smaller, you get less.
Yeah.
That's the way it all works. And the rest of us realize, like, outside of that is anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know, and frankly, that goes for the far left, too. The difference is that they're not nearly as loud or as powerful. But, you know, like Jimmy Dore type characters.
Yeah.
That if your whole sort of thing is no compromise, you know, the other side is pure evil, and everything we do, we're going to do. And by the way, I say the other side, I don't mean some of these congressmen like Jim Jordan, who is pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying anybody who has different views from me,
yeah.
you know, at all, is pure evil, is a sellout, you know, there's very Manichaean world, right? I mean, when you get to that point, eventually there's warfare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's inevitable. Because when you say that whoever your opposition is so evil, is the devil, is whatever, is, you know, then you're putting them in a place where you're saying they don't have acceptable views within a democracy to argue with, debate with, sometimes be dealt with. And you're saying that again, what's the end result of that? If you can't work with them in a democratic system,
mm-hmm.
we're going to end up in a war.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. they don't, you know, and that's where the right is. The sort of reasonable right, whatever you want to sort of put as that, allowed these other figures, you know, I mean, people like Jim Jordan brought up before. I mean, John Boehner once called him a terrorist.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, they knew what they were getting with these guys, and they should have stood up, I mean, 20 years ago, you know, but at worst 10 years ago, when they had people running in their primaries, you know, having to do and winning their primaries, having to do ads, explain to people things like, I'm not a witch, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
And you know, rape, you know, when someone's raped, the body has a whole way of shutting that thing down. That should have been a point for every yeah. Republican of good conscience. I think that was the 2010 Tea Party election. Stand up and say, these people are fucking crazy. They're not in the mainstream. They're not people that are going to be able to, in real life, to deal with the opposition, right? Because
mm-hmm.
they're conspiracy theorists and nuts. And that's not We can't have that in our democratic system.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, too, when it comes to campaign ads, where you've got guys like Rand Paul who are shooting legislation on camera. I mean, the entire point of their campaign commercial is, hey, look, that's the Obamacare legislation. Let's shoot it. And that is the signal that is being sent to all of Republican voters, all of these extremists, all of the military cosplayers and on down the line. They're saying, oh, that's how democracy works. We shoot at stuff. I get it. That's the budget. Oh, my God, the budget is out of control. Let's shoot it. That is a serious crisis within. Said. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly. It's perfectly said.
Yeah.
Like in these ads where they take violent action towards something. Right. Or impugn like the other side and say that the other side is so violent. I mean, yeah. I get personally, you know, offended. I see right now that obviously we're talking about QAnon and oh, my God, like they've convinced people that Democrats drink the blood of babies, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is so related to sort of medieval sort of claims about Jews and Christian babies. I mean, this stuff all comes straight from the anti-Semitic playbook.
Yeah.
But, you know, where were we? Where were they during the debate in 2016, the Republican debate, where Ted Cruz stood up and said that he'd seen a video where a live baby had been aborted? Now, I mean, the fact that that person after that was considered to still be a serious contender for anything mm-hmm. and not absolutely told to resign, you're accusing Planned Parenthood and thereby Democrats who support Planned Parenthood, who've worked with Planned Parenthood, of being murderers. That's what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're saying they're murderers. And this kind of rhetoric around abortion started 20 years ago, but it got worse and worse. Now you're claiming you've seen videos that don't exist, mm-hmm. right? What happens? You may remember this, which is a guy walks into a Colorado Springs Planned Parenthood and shoots a number of people, kills them, muttering about no more baby parts, the exact phrase that Cruz and his ilk used up on stage.
Yep.
And others were repeating in Fox News, showed this video that was purported, that was edited and bullshit. Well, I mean, so you know, at that point, when you're not willing to speak out and say, we cannot have in a democratic society, people among us who are shooting things in commercials, who are accusing the other side of murder. Like, again, when you get to that point, you can't have a democratic country anymore. You can't mm-hmm. have civil democratic debates of any sort.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying nobody on the left is ever guilty but they're so pathetic when they're like, Maxine Waters said that you should make people uncomfortable. That's just bad. It's like, yeah. You know, seeing somebody in a restaurant like Mitch McConnell and saying, hey, asshole, is definitely as bad as storming the fucking Capitol.
Oh, yeah. Well, the big... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I was done. I mean, I'm just making that they're trying to make those equal things is just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the big difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party right now is the Democratic Party has its own number of crazies on the fringes. But the difference is those crazies aren't running the Democratic Party. The crazies on the Republican Correct. Side are absolutely running the party. We just had one of them leave the presidency just last month. So this is not any sort of equivalency between those two things. But I want to go back to Fox News. You mentioned Fox News Channel. How the hell did Fox News primetime hosts escape accountability for helping to incite the insurrection? How did they manage to sidestep all of the comeuppance that came down after the 6th?
No, I mean, that's an excellent point. I don't know what the answer to that is, right? I mean, anybody who advertises at this point with Ingram or Hannity or whatever should be ripped to shreds.
Right.
Anybody who sits on the board at News Corp or has anything to do with it should be ripped to shreds. Investors. Major investors, hedge funds, whatever, like there could be no quarter for them. They can't be accepted, you know, in our society where we're going to go around and say, hey, you're a member of a respectable society. It's okay that you're making money off of a company that's out there mm-hmm. inciting riot and leading to murder. I mean, you can't let that to me, frankly, is what people like Maxine Waters were saying. And I agree with, which is, you know, don't allow people like that to just slip right into their country clubs and their whatever and sort of dodge the repercussions of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Make it so everybody knows what they did. Make it so that their lives aren't so cushy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, that's the thing. That's what we're dealing with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's I mean, In any case, to really just answer the original part of it, I don't know, because Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson seem to dodge everything. Lou Dobbs gets kicked off, you know, to do Depends commercials or whatever the hell he'll be doing next. When you know, when he's sharing these conspiracies that lead Smartmatic to sue Fox and Fox Business, rightfully so. But I don't watch Fox, thank God, and I don't work for a place like Media Matters, so I don't make myself watch it to the point of, you know, being like, what's his name, and Alex in A Clockwork Orange, right? To fucking pin my eyes open, so I don't, you know, and so I don't know. But I mean, I'd be pretty shocked when I see clips on Twitter that pop up, whatever, if Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity weren't sharing all this crap just as much, you know, as Lou Dobbs was.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. He's the one that takes the fall on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, we'll get back to our conversation with Cliff here in just a second. But first, we are so grateful that vaccinations for COVID-19 are underway. Unfortunately, while there's light at the end of the tunnel, infection rates and hospitalizations are at an all-time high across the country. In California, some hospitals are turning away patients or threatening to ration care. While we're nearing the finish line for this brutal pandemic, getting there means staying safe. For the foreseeable future, only respirator face masks provide real protection from transmission. Unfortunately, the huge demand and limited supply of respirators means we are flooded with fakes and counterfeits that do almost nothing. Well, right now, the newdealshop.com has FDA-authorized KN95 respirator masks with anti-fraud labeling on every single package that can be verified right on the manufacturer's website. They're tested in the United States by the NPPTL and provide the most significant level of protection. Their respirator masks are in stock in the U.S. and ship immediately for free. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get verified, authenticated, FDA-authorized N95 masks shipped immediately to your home or business. That's thenewdealshop.com. TheNewDealShop.com. Go now.
Izier, that is AISIER. What is it? Luxurious modern sleepwear for the independent woman. Their sleepwear is made from 100% washable silk. Oh, silk is known to reduce skin surface moisture loss and limit skin irritation. Best of all, it's comfortable, so lightweight, it feels like a second skin. It'll keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer with a fabric that loves your skin all year round. And in every type of weather, wearing silk to sleep is simply therapy at night. Izier is owned by an amazing woman, a single mom. Their products are made right here in California. You can feel good about supporting a small business delivering high-quality products. Now is the perfect time. Treat yourself or a loved one to something extra special to sleep and lounge in during Izier's Valentine's sale. Go to shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use the discount code Stephanie, 10% off your order. That's shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use that code Stephanie for 10% off your order.
The Bob Seska Show.
Well, one of the biggest challenges, Cliff, is the fact that so much of the criticism that we're discussing right now has a lot less to do with politics than what it seems. I think this has everything to do with Americanism and democracy. It has very little to do with political partisanship. Opposition to Donald Trump, I think, had little to do with political partisanship. Certainly there was an element of opposition when it came to issues like immigration and race and so on. But for the most part, I think the opposition for Donald Trump was driven by, oh, this is just not right. We can't have this in a democracy. This is, he's destroying everything that we've built over the last 250 years, whatever it is. And so I think a lot of people end up confusing and saying, oh, yes, well, this is just a political witch hunt. Well, it's not a political witch hunt. The same goes with the continued opposition now when it comes to guys like Josh Hawley or Lauren Boebert. It's not just that they're Republicans and they believe in things that are ass backwards, that are not informed by facts and logic. It's about how they could just completely disregard the values that we apparently have cherished in this country for, well, since the founding.
This is what they try to do, right? I mean, the right tries to put everything into a partisan framework because that's the only way they can win. If they make something partisan, you must be doing it because we're Republicans, as opposed to you're doing it because Donald Trump, democracy cannot exist with no democratic culture.
Yeah.
Study history. Anybody can. You can see where sort of democracies have turned to authoritarian, and, you know, leftism, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to call China, you know, and where the communists took over, or they've turned to much more often far right, you know, movements. Obviously, the ones that come to mind easily are Italy and Germany, but plenty of other countries have Chile and others. And, you know what I mean? And often a big part of how that's able to happen is that the democratic culture from demagogues in the media and politics, it's eroded.
Yeah.
This kind of divisiveness is created so that people hate, and that's what they lead with. And they don't think about working together. They don't think about that we can work things out in a way together, And so when you've got a Donald Trump and a Josh Hawley and a Ted Cruz, I can prove very easily that I'm not motivated by partisan politics. Mm-hmm. I loathe the living fuck out of Jim Inhofe, for example, but I'm not asking for him to be kicked out of the Senate.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, he's a dumb asshole who brought a snowball onto the floor of the Senate and said, see, there's no global warming. He's a fucking moron. But did he stand up and threaten our democracy? No. So as much as I loathe him and think he's a clown, I don't think he should be removed. That's a whole different story from, Cruz and Hawley, who are people I also equally loathe, except for they threatened our democracy.
Exactly.
And that's the difference.
Twitter announced today that Trump's ban from that social media platform is permanent, even if he runs for president again. And my question for you, Cliff, is say you're Donald Trump and you've got this gigantic movement of people who are just waiting for you to step down off the mountain and deliver your Ten Commandments to the world or whatever. You're waiting for the next order in terms of your new marching orders from your generalissimo. And how do you talk and communicate with your fanboys without having the convenience of social media, which he is clearly not going to get back forever? It's gone.
I mean, we got to start with the fact that he's much more likely to come down off of the mount, with a bucket of fried chicken than
that's so true. Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, no, I think it is really difficult. Look at the study who did that study? Damn, I can't remember, but that showing that disinformation had gone down something like 73% after Trump was kicked off of all these platforms and Bannon was kicked off of some of them. I mean, that's the thing is that we can't ever make this stuff perfect, but we can actually do a lot to limit disinformation within our democracy. It doesn't mean we have to become, we have to shut down free speech. We have plenty of free speech and we still have rules around where that speech goes somewhere where it's dangerous for us. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, bribery would be legal. Sexual harassment would be legal. Child porn would be legal. Really pretty much all the stuff the Trump staffers do would be legal.
Right.
When it comes to Twitter with him, there's no doubt if disinformation goes down that much, clearly the dude has a huge impact on Twitter.
Right.
Also on Facebook, who I think took him down. Now what, they've got some committee of I don't even know who, who are supposed to discuss whether to let him back on. Those two places, wasn't he kicked off? If he ever wanted to go on TikTok, was he kicked off there too? Which I guess is where you'd reach a younger generation of folks, or Snapchat. I think they all kicked him off.
Yeah, Pinterest. Pinterest kicked him off too. Like no one even uses Pinterest, and Pinterest is done with Trump.
We can't learn about his great recipes for overcooked steak. I'm very sad. Pinterest. I like Shopify.
Right.
Some really awesome ones that kicked him off that were pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never understand how Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, and Laura Ingraham avoided that form of comeuppance. They somehow were able to walk through the raindrops and get away with it. But now, fast forwarding, this is the last question before I let you go, Cliff. I noticed today that Joe Biden delivered remarks about the military coup in Myanmar. It's worth noting that our previous president, Donald Trump, when asked about Myanmar, said, "Where is that exactly? I'm not making that up." That's how
really?
That was Donald Trump's response. Yes, because he was meeting with refugees, and someone
was
it said,
"The Oval Office, is that the one I'm thinking of?"
Yeah, it was in the Oval Office, and someone asked him, "What are you going to do about the genocide in Myanmar?" And he responded, "Where is that exactly?" He had no idea. And and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were meeting with the Pentagon today at the Pentagon about the military coup in Myanmar. So that gives you kind of a look in terms of just the vast difference, the chasmic difference between where we are now and where we were just, you know, less than a month ago. It seems staggering that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all those things that aren't about just Democratic versus Republican politics, mm-hmm. all the things that decent leaders do. You know, all the little things, you know, going and paying respects to the officer who lost his life at the Capitol, you know, in the attack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, little things like that, offering condolences when people that have impacted our politics or culture die. Like the things, the kinds of things where decency and sort of engagement we're used to from that office that just disappeared for 4 years and really just was sort of fell into a kind of, you know, fell into that place where it was just Donald Trump looking and saying, is this something I can profit off of? I can't. Okay. Fuck it. I'm not going to say anything about it.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it just, again, the democratic rituals as part of maintaining that democratic culture are important too. And so just, yeah, the different world we're in terms of our democracy, but also in terms of hopefully saving some lives in Myanmar, you know, stopping the repression in some form. You know, there's not, obviously it's not that easy, and there's not probably, we don't probably have a million options of what we can do, but just acknowledging it, discussing it, you know, making it public, educating people, all these things inevitably tend to help, you know?
That's
and
right.
So having somebody who is doing what's best for us, but also, you know, the world in that way, I mean, it is, it's such a breath of fresh air. I'll just say, you know, just the fact that I, except for things like that, like, you know, Joe Biden paying his respects at his funeral, or Joe Biden going to, you know, and Kamala Harris going to the Pentagon to talk about Myanmar. The fact that outside of those things, I don't hear anything about them. No bitching, no crying, no, like, I should have gotten the Emmy. No, like, you know, stuff like that. I'm richer than everybody else. I mean, it's like such a breath of fresh air.
It really is.
Like, I don't need to know every thought that's in my president's head.
And, you know, I lied before. I have one more question for you, Cliff. What are the chances? What are the chances that a permanent majority of Americans are going to see the Democratic Party as the governing party moving forward? And I'm not just talking about nationally. I'm talking about the state and local level, too. I mean, what are the odds of gaining some sort of permanent majority for the Democratic Party as kind of the American Party, which is kind of how it feels, you know? It doesn't, it seems that the Democrats have this real serious opportunity to frame themselves as the American Party, and it's not just framing, it's something that's backed up by observation and facts, by actual behavior and policy and so on. Seems like that might be a trend. Am I being ridiculous? Am I being too idealistic, or are we moving in that direction?
You're not. There's obviously still big problems with misinformation. There's whole swaths of rural areas that are not open to even listening to the message that we have to share, even if it's on economic issues that would help. So I'm not, you know, but I don't, it's not going to be as easy as in every place as it is in some, but there's just no doubt that you've probably read some of these articles, or at least seen some of them, that, you know, they'll be like 8,000 people in Colorado have re-registered from Republican to Democrat or independent since the Capitol siege. And I mean, I've seen these things everywhere, North Carolina and places where there's people just running away from the Republican Party because of and now it's worse when you see what the Senate is doing right now. And this video, and, you know, so the messaging is important. I think the messaging about it, you need both sides of it. And they're seeing how one side, how awful the Republicans are, with everything since that, the Capitol insurrection, a whole other level of awful, you know, worse than Donald Trump, which I didn't know we could get there, than just regular Trump. But the Democrats have to do the positive stuff. Biden has to still keep speaking about, you know, bringing people together and doing our best, and putting the policy proposals out there that will do that. You know, there may be a bunch of elite Washington folks in Republicans in the House and the Senate who don't give a shit about good policy and would rather demagogue because they're worried about primaries. But you see something like I saw today where 83% of people in Texas support this COVID stimulus bill and only 17% oppose. Well, majority of Republicans support it.
Mm-hmm.
So Biden is bringing the actual people together.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, that they've learned from Obama, you know, where Obama made the mistake of wanting too much to work with Republicans, even at the expense of getting stuff done quickly. And I don't blame him. I get it. He was Jackie Robinson in a lot of ways, and there were a lot of other challenges. But I think the Biden people who were there have learned from that. And so I think there's a large group of people who are leaving the Republican Party right now, horrified by it, and they're up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
If we do what I'm seeing right now, I hope we can keep doing it, which is, you know what, Republicans, we want to hear from you guys. Mitt Romney comes out with a child care proposal that's actually half decent. We'll work with you, you know, which Romney did. I'll give him credit.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever. But when it comes to this important bill, we'll make some changes. We'll take, you know, 10, 20, whatever percent of what you guys want. But we're not slowing it down. We're not giving you like a Tea Party summer like we did in 2009. We're passing it. And if we have to do it via reconciliation without you, we will.
That's right.
So come on. And I think the effects of that will be so profound because there's so much that's necessary in this bill, from funding state and local governments that are just starved of funds, with, you know, their tax base crashing, with businesses collapsing, you know, and getting people back to work and getting past the virus. I think we could be in a place where, with the exception, you know, look, there's going to be a dozen states and some localities within states that's going to be very, you know, very rural places. They're going to be very hard for us to win over no matter what. But if there's sort of a majority party in the vast majority of states, yes, I do think that's very doable if we keep pushing forward with the positive and keep pointing out how awful they are.
So how shocked were you when you noticed Cleta Mitchell as part of Donald Trump's Stop the Steal legal team? Were you blown away? Was this like, oh my God, I can't believe she's doing that?
Friend.
It's your best friend.
And then she got fired from her law firm. Every time Cleta Mitchell pops up, like, you know, every time something happens, an angel gets their wings. Every time Cleta Mitchell pops up, Cliff Schechter gets 500 new Twitter followers. Pretty much the way it works. I mean, she's like, I should just hire her to do my PR. She's literally part of the single best public moment I've probably ever had. You know, I mean, I was shocked when I saw her pop up, but man, she's like a freaking seditionist Forrest Gump. You know, she pops up. Is there sedition going on?
Yeah.
Legally, she was on the board of the NRA when they're busy inviting Russian spies in to come hang out. You know, she was working with these right wing groups like Family, you know, Prayer Breakfast, Family Research, you know, Council, and others that were seeing themselves infiltrated by either Russians or right wing, you know, pretty much Timothy McVeigh-ish extremists. You know, like, again, she's like a Forrest Gump of nuttery. So was I shocked to see her pop up there? No, because it seemed really pretty much to fit her resume. I guess I'm a little surprised again and again at how stupid she actually is to want to tie herself to all this garbage.
Uh-huh.
And again, I just would like to thank her because every time she opens her mouth and does something stupid like that, you know, a video of me goes slightly viral again. So I'd like to thank her personally.
And I always hold out hope that she actually sees when, you know, she pops up in the news and then notices that there are like 1,000 tweets about your takedown of her from 14 or now 15 years ago. I wonder if that haunts her. Because if I were her, man, I would never get over that. I'd have nightmares perpetually. I'd have like post-traumatic stress from from that cable news appearance. Holy shit. Well,
you deserve credit, Bob. You put that up. You put that video out there every time it comes back up. So I'd like to thank you.
I'm eternally impressed by that takedown. That was a thing of beauty. Absolutely. The show is called The Unprecedented Podcast on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com. Cliff, where can people find you on Patreon, your podcast?
You'd think that I would come ready with that kind of information. I'd be smarter.
I think I know it. I'm just leaving it up to you. It's patreon.com/unprecedentedpod, I think is the website address.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. If I was going to just say unprecedented and get it wrong, unprecedented podcast. Yes, you are correct. It's Patreon. It's unprecedented pod. We're at unprecedented pod also on the Twitter machine. I'm at Cliff Schechter. If you want to come, or it's at Unprecedented Pod, excuse me, on the Twitter machine. I'm at Cliff Schechter, and, you know, come check us out.
Yeah.
We have fun, like Bob does, except for we also have to point out that there are a lot of assholes out there.
That's so, right. Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of both.
And by the way, it's the misspelling of unprecedented, just to be clear about that. Link in the description.
It's the Donald Trump we're going for a little of that double entendre. It's a Donald Trump, you know, when he said that something was unprecedented, spelled like president. We're like, well, it gets to make fun of it that he's a moron, and hopefully we'd like to unprecedent him. So it felt like it fit.
Are we ever going to find out who was misspelling all those things on those official White House documents? I still think someone was trolling Donald Trump. It'd be nice to know what was going on behind the scenes.
I would agree with you on that. Yeah. I'd love to know that, you know, because, I mean, again, we did see, like, these goobers up there arguing his case in the Senate. I mean, it's possible that they're just that dumb. I mean, he does, you know, promote the hell out of sycophants and not really care. But I do have to be tempted to believe also that maybe someone was messing with him. I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. Well, my friend, thank you so much. It was great talking with you again, and we'll definitely get you on again real soon.
That would be awesome. I always love talking to you, Bob. Thanks so much, dude.
Take care. Best to John Aravosis, too.
I will extend that.
Okay, thanks so much.
Kimberly for me.
All right, you bet. Thanks so much, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine this Valentine's Day story is you. You're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you cringe. Not on Valentine's Day. You can't go in with those bags under your eyes, not to mention crow's feet. You rummage through your purse saying, please tell me I have my Plexiderm with me. And bingo, there it is. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and smile confidently, knowing that in minutes you'll look fresh, bright-eyed, and years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give yourself. You can try a 6-day, 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.